Did you ever think when the hearse rolls by that someday you are going to die?
You don't know what death is.
Hey, welcome here to the show. I'm Vince. I'm your host. I'm joined with finally back Cole and Dan's joining me too.
What up? What up? What up?
What's going on?
If you guys could stop that in the future of the what's going on.
I said, nobody's what up,
ever.
What up?
Nobody's ever going to end that too because nobody's ever going to like repeat back through their iPod or computer. It's almost in the same context of, hey, how you guys doing?
What the fuck you want me to say?
Yeah. What am I supposed to say?
Right.
That's for something you guys have to figure out on the next show. That's your homework. That's what you guys do. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, boss.
Whatever, dude.
45 seconds in, and I nailed it that I'm a prick. Well, all right. I also want to thank Derek for having myself back on to MichaelMyers.net.
Oh, just how about Cole and I?
Cole, well, this is really the first. Well, Cole was also part of the Rabbit Red, I think, when I was doing it through there, and I never really left the site. It was just I more left Rabbit and Red, and since 2013, my whole career's really gone in a very fast-paced direction with work. So I didn't have time to do a podcast every single week, and it just didn't make sense to release one here and there and put it towards the site. But Derek, we all thank you very much for picking us up and giving us a little home, and I do appreciate it. And I've always loved the site itself because. Right. I have an appreciation for anybody who, those guys, you can't get in. Here's the thing with the MichaelMyers.net, the diehards that go there. You can't go into those message boards thinking you know something about Halloween because they'll exploit you in a second, not in a prick way.
No.
But it's just like you can't bring up stupid things like, well, the coveralls were actually a dark blue. No, they weren't. You're dead. Like, you're dead on the fucking spot.
And it's just that, yeah, exactly. And you know you're talking to your own people. You guys are having conversations on the same level. And like you said, it's not a degrading thing or whatever. It's just you don't have to cut through all the bullshit. Like, dude, some of the shit I see, oh my God. Like, talk about not only generic, but just like putting us horror fans, like making us look so dumb, just putting us to shame, like just, oh, it's ugly. So yeah, like you said, when you get advertising and when they hit all those notes to where it just makes it just accentuates those little things that to us are everything, but to the normal fan, they don't necessarily, they're not looking for it, they don't know what they're looking for, especially in horror movies and stuff like that. We know what works, so when they do it properly and get it out there for the masses, dude, it's always a good day, you know? Even if it is a shitty reiteration of something like a TV show, like, I don't want to say shitty, you know, but yeah, I will say shitty, but look at Scream. I mean, in terms of quality.
Well, we'll get into that on the second part of where it stands now, but I know that it's early, and I'm already. It's stated for next year to come out, but I still have this feeling that Halloween Returns, that's supposed to be slated for a 2016 release, hopefully late September, early October.
Yes.
I know I'm not alone in this. Well, have this feeling it's going to get pushed back even further, but.
Of course.
The big thing here is kind of looking over with what we already know about it, and I can give you this so far the storyline, which this has been the most consistent one. Everybody's has been saying the same one. I'll read it, and you guys can tell me what you think of it. This is for Halloween Returns. This was the now 18-year-old child of one of Michael Myers' victims plays a central role along with the child of a cop who's long been obsessed with Myers' case, even putting it before his own daughter. Myers is now on death row, and the two kids, with their own personal vendettas against the killer, sneak in to watch his execution. But when things go awry, fuck you, and Myers escapes, the pair, along with their friends, find themselves in trouble. That's kind of been the overall what people have been... This is what it is. Cole, I'll go with you. What do you think of that synopsis of what Halloween Returns could be?
It's not great. I mean, the cop over exercising his belief in the Michael Myers case isn't that already Dr. Loomis in the original however fucking many films he's in that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever else, like, okay, so what victim that was in high school from the original Halloween had a kid and that is now 18? That doesn't really make any sense.
And the whole, when I read "And Things Go Awry," that's where I just wanted to spit on my computer.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Stop it.
And guys, let me ask you guys a question now. With this whole, let's just start here with the whole rebooting again. Now, okay, so I want to talk about timelines. And, you know, Texas Chainsaw 3D, whatever it was, they did the same thing after the remake with Jessica Biel, where they said, okay, fuck it, we're going back and we're going to continue from 2. There are other examples, too, I just can't think of them, but what do you guys think of that? Because to me, it's fine. I actually like it because it's basically saying, eh, fuck you, we're going to start wherever the hell we want. And I admire that and I respect that. And it's almost like, no, you know what? The original was great and 2 was awesome. I know we all really enjoyed 2 and all that, but let's face it, all the other sequels are not great films. We can go fucking hours and talk about that. So to say, now you know what? Fuck all your movies. I don't even care about that. No, we're going from here. I don't know. I love that badass attitude. What do you guys think about it?
I don't really think they have a choice.
Okay. Right.
I think it's more of a
you
either do this or you don't make another film and you just completely remake it.
Yeah, good point.
And the big thing when this came out, of course, okay, I've said this many times about how people have their favorite football team, their favorite baseball team, favorite whatever. When it comes to horror fans, I always say, so we all have to have our, you know, that's our franchise. I've always viewed myself as, my franchise is Halloween. Like, that's the number one for me. And I think we all kind of have that same mindset, or at least we all have the respect for the franchise, both good and bad. You're in love with it to the point of, look, even though Resurrection was a goddamn disaster, I still love the franchise.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So here's what I'll break down simply. This is not me as a fan. This is kind of what I do in life. Akkad is doing this. Akkad doesn't give a shit about the fans, and I will say this, he doesn't have to. Like, deep down, he doesn't, like, here's what he cares about for the fans. He wants your money. That's the ploy. That's what he has to do. So, with Rob, when you walked out of the theater of Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, everybody knew, even when it was already announced at the time, okay, Todd Farmer had the script, and we all know the details.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get a third one. But walking out, you go, how do you recover from that? So you have to reboot it one more time. Now they're doing a different kind of trick into it of, well, we'll do a reboot, but the first one happened and the second one happened from 81. So what we'll do is cut it in. So then when I heard, okay, they're going to cut it, it's going to pick up from Halloween 2 that was shot in 1981 that took place the same night of Halloween, automatically, first thing is, okay, well, cinematography is going to have to play a big role if you have to get in the same.
It's got to all look the same. Everything's got to make sense.
Exactly, it does. And now you have to think of, okay, well the Laurie Strode character, gone, can't have her, unless you want to try to have something that's going to be a tough thing. Are you going to have Bloom?
Vince, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but dude, that's a huge aspect of what we're talking about here.
There's more.
That big of a deal because the kids that are going to watch it now have no idea who the fuck that is in the first place.
That's a good point, but here's what I say. Fuck that generation.
Right?
Fuck them. I don't care.
I mean, that's not fair to us that have been Halloween fans for how many years.
See, that's the fan of me. That's the 33-year-old guy who says, fuck them, but at the same time that a business guy goes, okay, I get it.
Yeah, but guys, listen. About the whole plot real quick, okay, that synopsis, think about it. I have a feeling that's a very, very small part of what this movie is. Now,
that's the whole movie.
But that's what I'm saying. But all these fucking movies, if you were to say, do synopsis for all these fucking movies, it would be basically the same. Like, oh, she wakes up, it's a family member, and they're going after her. That's always what it's been.
Okay, let's pick. Now I'm going to quickly
pick this. But it's always worked.
Yeah, I'm going to quickly pick apart this synopsis. Okay. So at the end of Halloween 2, That was directed by Rick Rosenthal. Myers was supposed to be dead in a fire. As we know, he's not dead. So let's do a quick little flashback to Halloween 4. Now he's spent 10 years in a, you know, bandaged up. So how are they going to play that off where it's just been, I don't know, maybe a year later and he's going to be executed and that whole thing? It's just...
No, it's 18 years later because fucking person's kid is the one that he's going after now.
Well, it's the 18-year-old child of one of Myers' victims.
Could have been.
And of course, that could easily be one of the nurses.
Yeah.
I doubt Bud. True. Like, Bud probably had a couple fuck kids around that I didn't know about because he did play a great Italian piece of shit that I could relate to.
Well, Vince, I know, too, the cop was supposed to be the cop from Halloween 2, the blonde dude.
Yeah, and I want to get into that just real quick, but the one thing I wanted to go over is, and we'll make this short, because this is something, I said it's like, you know, it's so easy to judge something on paper. Right. It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
Now, the person who's directing this, Marcus Sustain, he's done Saw 4, Saw 5, The Collector, The Collection.
What did you call his last name? What was his name?
Dunstan.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Marcus Dunstan checks in. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he's a cool guy, too.
That's not the issue I have. I'm going to look at it this way. The movie's just read off that he's written, he's directed also, but so if you look at those, like Feast, like I said, Saw 4, Saw 5, and the biggest ones are probably The Collector and The Collection. He's also did Piranha 3DD. He wrote that.
Did he really?
Yes.
God, is that Mike's fucking favorite movie ever?
Yeah, well, it's anything by dimension. But
I love that movie. Whatever.
But here's the thing. It's so easy. I could look at those and say, okay, and this will be the debate for, and I'm doing something it is unfair to do, but I'm going to speak for a majority. I'll say just majority of Halloween diehard fans like myself and say that's not the guy for the job. But now here is a flip side to it.
Okay.
The guy is around 40 years old, so that means he grew up in that great generation. You know,
correct.
So just because he wrote some movies that, hey, I may have not liked, doesn't mean that he's not the right guy to do this. Now, also, anybody can debate me back and say, well, Rob Zombie, anybody who didn't like any of Rob Zombie's work for what he did for Halloween 1 and 2 could easily say, well, Rob Zombie was considered one of the ultimate Halloween fans, and look what he did.
So you don't like that aspect of it? You just want to, you'd rather have them be proven writers as opposed to just fans?
No, you know, and that's the, sometimes you need, and again, okay, I'm just going to be like, this is the lawyer edition of the show. I could even,
I am a lawyer.
If anybody wanted to debate me on that, it's like, oh, well, a fan should write that. Halloween 6, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy had Myers fucking his niece.
Yeah, but dude, there are so many examples, though, where it could go both ways. I mean, James Gunn, look at that one. That they took a huge chance with the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they gave him the keys to the castle. They let him do whatever the hell he wanted. Now, for some reason, it didn't go that smoothly with Edgar Wright on Ant-Man, the follow-up to that, but that's a whole other story. They nailed it with James Gunn. Now, there are so many examples, though, look at Fantastic Four.
No one cares about Marvel comic book movies.
I beg to differ. They're the highest grossing movies ever.
For people with no fucking brains that go and watch a bunch of garbage.
Well, okay, cool. I totally see your point of view, but that's you got to admit that's not accurate.
I just want to stop it right there for those who are very new to this. Cole, who just said nobody cares about Marvel. Cole has a picture of Paul Stanley tattooed on his back, and for anybody who doesn't know, Dan Chase used to love ingesting a lot of pills. So those are your two characters you're listening to.
I'm so over the Marvel comic book fucking movie thing. I hate them all. I've never liked one.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
I don't get it.
I'm sorry, dude. Okay, I'll stay away from it. My bad.
I fucking hate those films. Like, they're, to me, the biggest ripoff of money.
Yeah,
fucking book.
I don't know. I think they're very entertaining. But okay, I respect that, dude. That's not your thing or whatever. But
well, no, here's a quick tie-in. Now, you look at that, say Marvel, for example. Here's the last third factor I want to bring up with if you have a problem with who's writing this movie, who's going to direct it.
Yeah.
What I felt for the past, it's been 20 years now, the real issue with our Halloween films has been the Weinsteins.
Yes.
They
yes.
don't have... You had, you know, Mr. Akkad, who passed away. He loved it. Here's why I always admired him. When he said flat out, look, I made a mistake with Halloween 5. It was too much too quick. We were drunk on our own success. It shouldn't have been out that soon. I just admire a man that can make that mistake and go, you know what? Hey, forget it. It's okay. We love you. You've given us a great gift. It happens.
Right.
Yeah. The Weinsteins, this is not their creation. So therefore, it's always going to be walking on eggshells. It's always going to, you know, avoiding the mine because they're there, again, business guys. They're there to make money.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
And
they
that's the main thing, too, Vince. People get so caught up because they love movies and it's such a personal thing. But let's face it, these are fucking companies and they're out to make money. And granted, they do have maybe small portions of souls, or at least they portray it that way. But let's face it, they're just all about their money. And can you blame them? They're fucking companies. That's what companies do.
That's the great point. That's the point, you know, I'm trying to make of with, like, sometimes it stinks because, yes, we are diehard fans. We're just, not only just Halloween fans, we're fans of horror. So but you also have to look at it all different sides of, yeah, I understand they are trying to make a buck. But maybe sometimes you also reasons why companies become big multi-billionaires because they do the smart type of focus groups that they listen to and they get the right people. So sometimes maybe the Weinstein should listen to what the diehard smart fans do. And by the way, I've never met a Halloween diehard fan who wasn't intelligent. There's something I want to do later down the line on the show about dissecting certain fans of like what I said earlier, like that's my franchise, Halloween. When it just goes into, I'll sum it up with, it's my point of showing you how stupid Friday the 13th fans really are. But that's another thing. I want to get on this last thing before we take a quick break. From movie pilot.com, Kelvin Mercer wrote a really nice breakdown. He said, for Halloween Returns, 5 things to expect in a recalibrated sequel.
Movie Pilot's all right sometimes. They're very hit or miss. Some of them are complete bullshit, but
it's like any website, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Except for, I don't know, Brazzers and Bang Bros does have a bit of a downside sometimes. Like, how many cream pies do we need, guys? Come on.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah, but I've got Brazzers usually knocks it out of the park, though, so I'll give them a break on that.
Yeah, we'll let it slide. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
Okay, so what was it, though, Vince? Okay, go ahead.
Here's 5 things to expect from the recalibrated sequel. So number five goes a returning character from the original sequel. And he talks about Hunter Von Leer, who, you know, it's... And is this 100% confirmed that he is coming back for this? And that's a whole other thing itself?
Is that the top?
Yes.
I think that is confirmed, or maybe maybe I was reading the same thing you were reading.
Well,
or I was reading a different article, but at least, that's the rumor.
But that's part of the thing now with my other... Well, problem with this, and Dan, so that was Deputy Hunt. So let's say, you know, they go back and it's 78 or 79, wherever they go to. So okay, it seems like now they can't pick it up, and after really that synopsis is burned now into my brain, so it's not going to be, you know, the day after. So Hunter Von Leer is in his 60s.
Yeah,
and he looked very young in Halloween 2. He looks like Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, he does. Yep.
So, okay, whatever, they have makeup. So, I'm good with that. I do wish, even though I think everybody wants, you know, Sheriff Brackett to come back. They want Cypress back.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not like he wouldn't turn it down, because, you know, that guy appreciates every fan he talks to. I think here's why I'm okay with it. I'll get your guys' take. I'm okay with it because it's nice to have at least one tie-in. That's a solid tie-in that we can use. Cole, are you good with it? Like, can have anybody back.
I'm definitely good with that, because then it's definitely giving us fans that have been there for a long time something that we can, like, sink our teeth into a little bit. You know, the newer kids that are going to go won't exactly know who he is. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll go watch the old, 81 and 78 film, but highly doubtful. But at least it'll give us something. Be like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. We can go with this. It's definitely something to build on.
Cole, I see Cole's perspective, but let me just reiterate this fact that you're very political when you say that kind of stuff, Cole, and you're correct. But let's face it, you don't feel that way. You don't give a flying fuck what teeny boppers are fucking feeling or whatever. You know good horror when you see it. So let me just say that Cole doesn't give a fuck. No, you know good horror when you see it, brother.
But it's also a smart point to think. You got to think at all different angles.
Of course. Like, but that's what I'm saying. But I just want to say that that's what's good about you guys, too, because we know the fucking difference between, you know, all us geeking out, fanboying out, which you guys do it just like I do, but then you say, all right, let me step back, you know what I mean? And to your point about even the Marvel shit, Cole, I love that stuff, but even I'm starting to hate on it now because of the oversaturation, and that's just a fact. And there are more comic book movies being made than anything else, and that's pretty awesome if you're a comic book fan, but just like anything, dude, it'll burn out real quick. In the next 5 years, people will get so sick of that shit, and it'll just go downhill or whatever. That's the good thing about horror, though, is because there's so many shitty ones, but there are some good ones. And when it comes to Halloween, see, this is what I wanted to get at, though, and that's why it just reminded me, because what Cole was talking about, to where our expectations play such a big part, probably the biggest part of anything in our anticipation before the movie even comes out, to where, dude, we're taking little parts of fucking a synopsis and trying to piece it together and make sense. They could scrap that.
Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah. So for me, it's great reading that stuff, but right now, I just rather, I'm at the point in my life where with that kind of stuff, the less I know, the better. I just want to see the movie, and I don't really try and piece together the plot as something like a comic book movie. Halloween and horror,
fairness, Dan, the only reason we're doing it is because there's a podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Real quick, before we move on to number four, I'll just bring up this rebuttal with why Hunter Von Lier when Lance Guest is still around? I'm just, throwing it out there. He did play Jimmy and he survived.
Yeah, I'll bet you he'll be in there. I have a feeling he will be in there.
Maybe it's Jimmy's kid.
Dude. No, Jimmy never died. Jimmy.
But what? Jimmy
never died.
Do you mean though? So how does that make?
No, it wouldn't be his kid because they're saying it was from a victim.
Right.
And Jimmy never died in Halloween 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not paying attention.
How though? Maybe he died of burns from.
No, he wasn't even. No, he wasn't in that part.
I think he was concussed. At that crazy scene.
Yeah, he had a terrible brain.
Him driving home.
Yeah, God. The brain
chalked it up to Michael Myers.
Wait a minute. Yo, they could even start the movie with Jimmy getting killed, or Jimmy's. You know what I'm saying? They could even start the movie there. Bada bing, bada boom, and there you go.
Michael gets up, stabs him, and that's
exactly
how the movie starts.
Like they say, a victim. What better way to start off with the best character, I think, from Halloween 2?
I'm really starting to regret bringing up his name.
it went really weird real quick.
Just really shitty ideas. He could be like, stop.
See, what could happen is...
I mean, it's the Weinsteins. They're really good at taking shitty ideas and putting it on film.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm actually excited. About the whole timeline thing and all that kind of stuff. Listen, man, it's a Halloween movie. We're all going to see it regardless of anything. But
they already know they already know they have our bucks. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound horrible. So I'm sorry, but that's all I need. Let's go. I want to see it tomorrow. Let's do this fucking shit.
The other big thing on this list is they have Michael Myers being on death row, which I hate the idea personally. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, because he would never be on death row, for one, because he's clinically insane, so they're going to put him in a hospital versus having him on death row.
Of course, right, but why would you put that in the synopsis, too? Like, that's such... Oh, man, what a stupid fucking... Yeah, what a...
And real quickly, that when I hear the Michael Myers on death row, I still get the image of Halloween 5 with Myers in the cell with his handcuffs, and he's playing with them. And even at the age of 8, when I saw that, I thought, why do they keep the mask on?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it... Like, aren't they going to confiscate that for evidence and put that in the fucking room?
And that's what I hate. Like, I'm dreading if they do that, you know, he's on death row, that they're going to have, like, I just have that, I don't want the mask thing to come up.
The mask is going to be on. You fucking, and that's what I don't glued want. Glued to his face, he can't remove it, so it's going
to
be on.
He's got it glued to his face.
The third one on this list is the film will revisit the first two films. And this is where the author of this article brings up a really good point with the similar to what the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D did in their opening sequences.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's going to have. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. And there's no matter how you look at it, with this movie, Halloween 4, which a lot of people like myself regard as a damn good sequel, it's going to get shit on because of this film being made. This is, again, 4, 5, and 6, just what H2O did go, fuck you, never happened.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to happen one more time, but fuck you, it never happened.
Love that part of H2O, and that's what I was going to say, too, about the whole storyline thing. They already did this already. Actually, they wouldn't count Halloween 3, but they've kind of said, fuck you, a couple times. And that's
right? What I don't like. Yeah.
You don't like that?
Sometimes you have to live with it, unless the only time you don't is when you do the reboot. I don't know. We've got to wait and see. The second part is return to the original Michael Myers. When they say the original Michael Myers, we're not going to have that big 7-foot bruiser.
Behemoth.
Which, hey, you know what? I was fine with it because that was Rob Zombie's vision. Yeah. It was supposed to be a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And the last part is a fresh new start for the franchise. That's kind of a yes or no.
Yeah.
Because how are you doing a fresh start when you got to use what happened with the first two films going all the way back over 30 years ago?
You're not exactly remaking it. You're just rebooting it onto a separate part of what has already been established. You're not remaking anything. So you're not freshening up anything.
And here's my
question. Let me get this real quick.
My quick thing on it before we head over to break is here's one. You're cutting together a film, and you make a wrong cut. You can snip back in where that mistake was made into an edit as if it never happened. So instead of them going, okay, do we try to... I'm sure there's been talks of, well, what if we just continue from Halloween Resurrection?
Right.
And then I'm sure another discussion was, well, we could try to reboot it one more time. And then, of course, another thing was, what if we just picked up from People Love Halloween 2, the end of that, and then seemed like nobody really liked what happened after, which is construed, definitely.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
Doesn't have its following as much as the first two do.
Exactly. And it's definitely going to be a wait and see moment of what's going to go down. What are going to be the events? I do hope that it's not going to be a problem like it was a couple years ago with the whole Halloween 3 fallout.
And Vince, can I just say one thing, though? As far as all the movies are concerned, really all the plot points that take place after Halloween 2, what really has an effect? Like, looking back on those movies, what actually has to do with it? I mean, you got the whole Jamie Lee Curtis thing. What are they going to do with that now? They explained what? She went into hiding after Halloween 2, correct? And that was explained in what movie? Like, is that right? Didn't they say something like that? Yeah. I don't even know. So are they going to take that plot point and actually, you know, go from there? Or are they going to do, you know, switch it up and do a totally different thing? All I'm saying is, the point being, are they going to take the ideas that were established in later sequels and apply them to that? Because it's interesting, man. They got a lot of different ways that they can use it and do it in a fun way, but I think that there's not too many plot points that actually connect it that would make that big of a difference in this upcoming sequel, reboot, prequel, tadequel, whatever.
Well, the bottom line is, as long as it does double its money back on opening weekend, we're guaranteed to have enough. Well, we have to, again, wait and see.
It will.
I'm just, no matter what, I'll definitely see it because it's just, it's a drug. I'm addicted to it. I need more. So we'll be right back after this. This is Clutch with Careful with the Mic. You're listening to Ackerley on Stage.
To amuse your fans and act all urban to jack up your sound scheme. What's the matter with you? How come you rhyme monosyllabically? Is atrophy shrinking your entire vocabulary? Your style's like garbage cans meant to be taken out on a weekly basis. Ever since your first record, you've been in a state of suspended animation. You look like Snuffleupagus and Australopithecus, me crazy abacus. Enough about you, let's talk about me and how single-handedly I redefine the science of radio astronomy. Making Nobel Prize winners question the notions of reality. Oh, but I digress. You play sorry, I play chess. King's pawn, E3, checkmate. Go get some Percocets. Oh, my bad, I didn't know you were lactose intolerant. Makes you pass gas, frightens all the girls away. Only friends you keep are those you pay. Always on the ready for the wax snack attack. I carry sandwiches around in a straight-edge style dance park backpack. Got the gadget, you get bomb. Control your mind, make you jump in a pond. Go quack, quack, and slap your arms. Leave you confused, but completely unharmed. I'm ashamed to admit that I've been fooled by the seductions of violence. People walking around with ugly auras. At times I've even tempted to seek the advice of Dr. Laura. But I ignore her, and I take a deep breath and count to 10. Ain't gonna let it get under my skin. Take a deep breath and count to 10. Think of all the nice places that I've been. Like back when I was waging peace against the Visigoths. I was true to the ancient mysteries by a wise and pale soft. From the polyrhythm of celestial time. Wait for one to come to get it done and finish the rhyme.
Entertainment begins.
It's all fake, they've been set up.
Only trying to give America a good show.
What the house?
What is that?
This is
Hey, welcome back here to the show. Sinister 2 is out. By the time you're listening to this, Sinister 2 has been out in theaters.
Rocked.
I still like the first one. I think the second one's going to do a quick box office prediction. It's about $17.5 million, if it gets that lucky.
17, huh?
Easily, because it's going up against a lot, and it's the sequel. And I just have that
feeling. That's high.
Well, no, it's for opening week. Averages around this whole time has been a little bit, a lot more than that. I just think for some reason the
dude,
I just have no. I want it to be a good movie, but I just have a feeling it's gonna, like, there's the sequel. Every sequel has to do certain things. The higher, of course, we all know this. The higher body count for one.
Yeah, of course.
I just have a feeling that they're gonna go over the top with certain things.
Whenever you're talking a knockoff Ethan Hawke, that's never a good place to start. I mean, Ethan Hawke's great in Training Day, don't get me wrong, but yeah, when you're kind of listen, from what I saw in that trailer, it's coming out in theaters, but to me it had straight to DVD written all over it.
See, and I attempted to watch the first one and I fell asleep like 20 minutes in, so I never attempted to rewatch it. So I have
really,
yeah, if it's
you're missing out.
Yeah, I think you would like it, Cole. I really do.
I don't know. I enjoyed The Gallows, though. That was something that I went and recently saw, and
really,
I enjoyed it. It was, it was interesting. It was a cool kind of story. The story was kind of like there, and I mean, it was still kind of a found footage thing. And I'm so past that. But in itself, it wasn't terrible. You know, it was a fun watch. It was.
You know, you know who likes those movies? Faggots. That's who likes those movies.
I couldn't help it.
I'm sorry. I'm doing my new character, Angry Al, who's really shitty at debates. You're a queer.
Al.
Al.
You're a dumb queer. That's why you like it.
Could be. You never know. But
I do wish Sinister 2. Again, like, why does it come out now? Why does it come out August 21st? Can't you just, why don't you do mid-September?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, get it. When you get it more towards October, things are going to sell better.
Like, I think we've had this conversation before, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't like the 2-3 month period, that grace period, usually when the when it comes out on DVD or digital, whatever. So maybe they're going for that, where they're releasing it now.
Dan. At first, I thought you were about to say, like, isn't there that grace period for the Academy Awards? And I was about to smash you. I was ready. I was ready to pounce. Like, well, it could be nominated for best
female
sound.
Lead, Sinister 2.
Things you'll never hear.
Not a chance.
You know what I mean, though. So it might be because of that. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like dates would match up, right?
That has changed. I've noticed some come out a lot earlier, some come out later because
maybe I'm fucking wrong then, Vinny.
No, it's something that nobody really knows. It's a good point. Yeah. Like, maybe we'll put it here, and then we'll have it released the last week leading up to Halloween, like last weekend in October.
Yeah.
We can have it out. And I think the way they do it is if a film does well or something that's really made for, say, an IMAX, they can stretch it out longer periods and then make up the rest of their money on those Blu-ray, DVD, instant download, digital sales. So, no, it's definitely a good point, and maybe that's what they're trying to do. Right. And also another way of looking at it, let's do it in August because more kids are – even though it's an R-rated movie, but I don't think they really... I don't know how much they enforce it nowadays. Like, they can get, more of that money. Like, they want the parents' money. It's coming through the kids, so that's one way. Speaking of, like, on that same line of kids, MTV's definitely gearing it with Scream in the TV show. There's an article that you can find on Myers.net about how that mask does look... have a resemblance to the Myers mask.
Yeah, I don't hate that mask. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't necessarily like the back part of it, the kind of three prong thing. But because like the old Scream mask is like more of a hood type thing.
Yes.
But the look of it, yeah, I really don't hate it. Like, I thought maybe I would.
I was just gonna say it just hit me I live alone in a big home, but I shop a lot for food, but I go to different places, and there's this really fancy place. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a nice place called a Dollar General.
Oh, and, I love Dollar.
Plenty of those here in Iowa.
They're fucking awesome. So yeah. I'm in there and I see they already have their Halloween display, which I love. But they have a Scream mask that looks, to me, it looks just like the Scream mask from, the first Scream. And it was $3.
You bought it.
No, I didn't, but I want it, and I should. I just won't ever wear it. But it, then I got, as I got on my car, it ticked me off because as a kid, you had to pay $40 for a shitty fucking Don Post Myers mask.
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah.
Like, you can't
You're still paying shitloads of money for shitty masks like that.
Well, to a point, but for $54.99, you can get yourself a damn good Halloween mask. You can get a great Halloween 2 mask.
But that's the great thing about Scream was that it was so simple. It was like the cost to make that was probably 3 cents, and that's why they're selling it for $3.
I was just thinking for the fact that you can get those knockoff masks that looks just like it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. But, hey, you know, if you want to put down the good money for $54.99, go to the MichaelMyers.net store, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Cheap plug. And but it's amazes me how it changed. But, yeah, that mask on Scream, I like. And so far the story, okay, if you haven't watched Scream on MTV, go in with low expectations. Understand it's your cookie-cutter cast. There's one thing, and we'll get into this quick discussion on it. There's one thing that bothered me in the first episode. And it's not a spoiler or anything. one of the main characters is, she's a lesbian. And you could tell this with it muted, okay?
Yeah. Right, with the haircut and the leather jacket that's 3 sizes too big for her.
And that didn't bother me. I don't give a shit, okay?
Her but name's Paula Poundstone.
She'd be wearing pantsuits, telling awful shitty jokes and fucking abusing her kids.
Yes.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. But this part bothered me. Not her being a lesbian. Who the fuck cares? I understand you're pushing on there and it's MTV.
Yeah.
But here's where the part that bothered me. There was the cool kids... like didn't like her because she's a lesbian. Like, fuck you! What all white school is going to do that? None. A rich white school is not going to. They are going to like praise the lesbian girl. So they thought that was bullshit of like just trying to force conflict. And yes, it's something small that anybody normal person would overlook. But I'm a fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
and it bothers me.
Well, dude, there's a lot that bothers me with this show, and I will admit that I have been enjoying it. Now, with that said. But here's the thing. It's one of those things, dude, where I can't really recommend it to anyone. I personally love it because I love the Scream series, and I do it. Dude, there's a lot of good directors that they're getting on, and I believe... Yes. Now, okay, I'm only on episode 4, so I'm very behind on this show because I kind of want to just binge it one day. I've been so busy this summer, so I definitely plan on watching it, but I heard... from a lot of people that the episodes definitely do, start getting better. And listen, this is one thing I want to say about TV shows like this, especially ones that kind of aren't going off of a particular whatever, like, oh, this is CSI fucking Toledo, right? This is a kind of a new landscape. They got to find their footing. Not all shows start off brilliant. If you look at the show Spartacus, the first 5 episodes are some of the worst TV ever. After that, it's some of the best ever.
That's called the slow burn.
Exactly. Yeah. But it takes time to kind of find your footing, wouldn't you say? So I think that from what I've seen, and it's very cliche. It definitely has its problems, but I think it's finding its footing, and I'm really enjoying it. And I can't really recommend it to anybody though yet.
Well, until I see it
in its entirety. Sorry.
Could you recommend it from what you already saw so far to somebody who, let's say the casual horror fan who loved most of the Scream movies from the franchise. Could you recommend it to one of those people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. It's fun, you know? And it's very MTV-ish, and it's very formulaic in that sense where it definitely, you watch it, and it feels like a MTV show. With that said, it also feels... In a lot of ways, especially with some horror aspects or whatever, and this is, like I said, a lot due part to the directors that they've been getting, and they've been getting really brutal with some of the shit too, and that's not a testament to the show per se, but just in general, like TV's doing some crazy shit, dude. Shit, on NBC and Hannibal, they do some of the most gruesome shit ever. So anyways, and this is MTV, this is cable, whatever. But it's kind of weird because they take this weird kind of like poppy, like cutesy MTV style, and they mix it with this brutality kind of stuff. And I don't know, a lot of it comes off very cheesy to me. But honestly, I enjoy it, man. I cannot wait to start, like I said, I hate this term, binge watching, but I'm just going to bang out all these episodes, dude. Because I am. I'm enjoying it, dude. You get the whole family aspect. Like, you get all the... It's fun, man. It's very self-aware, just like the movies. And listen, it's a TV show. Everybody, you got to be fucking... You got to be self-aware. You got to do something different. Scream changed the landscape. This show's got to do the same. No, it doesn't. Shut the fuck up.
And that's a great point. Sometimes you can't, when you... It's not what I grew up with when I saw Friday the 13th, the series, and go, oh, this is great. And I remember having that memory as a child, waiting for that to come on and go, what's this?
Right.
What are they doing? Where's Jason?
Cole, what do you think about it? I haven't heard you say anything about the Scream Show.
Well, it's because you won't let me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Go, motherfucker, go.
No, I'm actually all caught up with all the episodes. And definitely episodes like 4 through 6 are very laggy, very slow, very kind of you're just mid-season kind of garbage. But
they're setups.
Yeah. Season or episode 7 really picks up. Yeah. This last episode, yesterday's episode. Or Tuesday's episode, sorry, was pretty good. It has the same formula of every episode, though. You go through all your drama bullshit of what happened the week before, and then someone gets killed, at the end of an episode. Yeah. And, it's very MTV-esque, and it's very cliche, and it's very, certain things about it that are, but before this show even started, they were... playing on that. They were playing, you've got the jock, you've got the girl who's the lesbian, you got the the bitch of the group, this and that.
Yep.
So like they knew going in what they were trying to be. And so like I kinda already had that in mind. So it's like, okay, you can kinda set that aside and kinda accept it for what it is. And but there's a lot of parts of it that feel very Scream-esque to the original series. You got the kid who's smart as fuck, knows his horror, knows his serial killers.
And by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, but with that character, it's unlike Randy. This guy's actually likable.
Right. And this guy's actually intelligent. Where Randy was just kind of like a dumbass kid who watched too many movies.
Yes.
Where this kid, actually, in the Scream series, I feel like is way more intelligent, knows a lot more about...
Good point, guys.
He knows a lot about horror films and movies, but he also knows very much about real serial killers, real information.
Yep.
As per se, like this was actually happening.
Right.
Right. The lead actress, she's fine, whatever, but she's very kind of dull. I feel that's kind of lacking.
She's growing on me, though. I don't know. I hated her at first.
I said, I'm all the way to episode 8, and I still get that feeling. It's still very dull and nonchalant and who the fuck cares kind of attitude. But all in all, I mean, it is what it is. You have to take it for what it is, and it's a fun watch. To me, it's better than... most shows out there that we get for horror.
And I think anybody who's looking for something that's... you don't have to do a lot of thinking.
It's not a super intelligent show. You're watching it because it's Scream.
Yes. And the one thing I want to ask you before we get ready to wrap up on the show. Cole, you were, I think... Well, Dan, I know you're huge. You love Scream, but I think... I always thought Cole was probably... love it maybe a little bit more at its competition. Cole, this is if you had to rank your favorite franchises, isn't Scream your second one?
I would say it's probably my third.
Okay.
First two are tied between Halloween and Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, wow. Texas Chainsaw?
That's right. Yeah. I always thought Texas Chainsaw was your first.
But, And Halloween and Texas Chainsaw flip-flop. Depending on the day and what mood I'm in.
Right.
But yeah, Scream's definitely number 3, right below everything else. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just the Scream, the very first one, was always that movie that started me kind of.
You're younger.
Yeah, you know, it came out in 96, so I was only 7 years old.
Oh, Cole's a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of what catapulted me to loving horror.
Yeah.
Where I was a huge Halloween fan, but I was watching that so young that it never scared me. I just thought it was awesome watching something kill people in a white mask, you know, and I was watching all the other Halloweens. Scream came out, my mom took me to go see it, and I was 7.
Woo!
That shit, like, that's what scared me. I was like, Scream was like, holy fuck, because, you know, like, I'm starting
to get 8, dude. Yo, we were the same age, basically, when we saw that shit.
You're starting to get a little bit older where, like, things are more sense, and it's like, he's a teenager and get killed, you know? Like, I'm not that far away from that, you know? So it was kind of more realistic for me.
Right. I just had a fucking great... I can't do it now. It's too late. I just... what a...
Do
no,
it.
Never mind.
Do it.
No, it's too late. It's not going to be funny now.
Oh.
It's not going to. It's just because, you know, you're a year apart, but yet Dan was still behind you in the grade years.
Yeah, and the intelligence.
Dan was still in kindergarten while Cole's in third grade.
Cole, but yo, but we've talked about this a million fucking times over, but how awesome was kind of, you know, your introduction to horror, especially in the theaters, dude, because Scream was one of the first movies I saw in the theaters, and I believe I saw it 3 times, and I've never even thought about anything like that before, doing anything like that, but I was so into that fucking movie where I just had to see it over and over again, and to this day, I still get that feeling, man, that nostalgic feeling, of... just pure joy, man. And listen, you can say whatever you want about, you know, how certain movies trigger whatever, and they don't have to be necessarily good movies. I believe that Scream is a very good movie on top of me loving it. So I would probably... I hate ranking shit, like you said, on any
it's
given
tough
day.
To rank.
It is,
it's
too, very but Scream would be number one for me on many days. But like I said, that fucking list changes all the time. Halloween is up there too, though. So I'm right there with you. It's usually my 1, 2, 3, whatever. Halloween, Scream, and yeah, man. So we're kind of on the same page with that shit. But Vince, now, so you're a little bit older, but not that much older.
No, when Scream came out. I think I've told this before years ago when I did Rabbit and Red about what an asshole I was when I saw Scream, because I was that defensive horror fan. A lot of my friends, I only had 2 friends that were as nerdy as I was that were watching those tough to find.
That is tough.
Films. And so when I saw Scream in the theater, I took offense and I was so like, I didn't fucking get it. What they were doing, and this is what I took offense to, when, Drew Barrymore's character dies, and, you know, the parents are like, okay, run down to the McKenzies and go, bullshit, why are they trying to use a Halloween reference? Like, so, I hated myself.
Right.
And then when, I think the band was called Gus, who did Don't Fear the Reaper, and I'm going, oh, they're doing another Halloween, why was I so angry? Like, and of course, a year later,
what they were trying to get across.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't, and you know, I was young where the testosterone was just kicking in. I wasn't fucking, so I just had to be angry at everything. So that was, but the year later, I watched it again and said, hey, I like this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it when it came out. I was like, you know, it's good, but I still think Halloween. It's like, you can still like movies and still like your favorites. It's not when you see something, you don't have to compare it to Nightmare on Elm Street because you're seeing like Sinister 2. Like, it better be as good as Nightmare. Like, shut up and just fucking watch it for what it is.
And see, for me, for Scream, it was like, I only went and saw it once. I only got to see it once, and then I had to wait until it came out.
Usually a year later, a full calendar year.
Right. Exactly. And so I had, I have to see this film again. I want to see this movie again. And I wanted to be Ghostface for Halloween that year.
Blockbuster, man.
You know, like...
And to think of that. Just think of, like, the year later where now, if, say, somebody misses a film that comes out in the theater, like, they can't see it the opening weekend, they go, I'm just going to download it illegally on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is shitty because you're getting, most of the time it's usually shit quality. Fuck, just pay for what you want to see.
Yeah.
But, or unless you hate Adam Green, then, you know, pirate all his shit.
But, I pirate just out of spite.
Like, yeah, I don't pirate, but if it's Adam Green, like, you know, when he's complaining about
it,
fuck
that's fucked up.
Holliston episodes, I have them all on my computer. Never paid for a single one.
Oh, you bastard. Yo, that's doing season three.
We're kidding.
Yeah.
We kid the fat people. Yeah. But the, like, that's how much has changed, where you can just, like, download it instantly and go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's also something I appreciate that I grew up in that era where it really – I remember asking my local video store of when does Halloween 6 – when is that available to rent? Because I already saw it in a theater, and I didn't like it, but I still had to watch it again.
Yeah.
And the guy had a look. He's like, well, I don't know now, but next time you're in, I'll find a date. And he looked. He's like, okay, it'll be September. I forget the date. But
yeah.
I was like – and
oh, my God.
And of course, like, I didn't ask this, but I was thinking, like, boy, I hope they get at least two copies in case anybody read it.
Right.
I was the only asshole reading it.
Vince, did you go at noontime the day it opened?
I had to wait until I got home from school, and then I had to walk up and get it, and oh boy, that was fun.
Wasn't it,
fun
dude? Times. I was going to say that, dude, because I did the same thing with Scream, and I did that with a couple of the ones with I Know What You Did Last Summer, and a couple of those. I think I even did it for Can't Hardly Wait. Like, I was so...
That's a better movie than I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It is. Oh, much better. I love Can't Hardly Wait, dude. But yeah, so check it out. So I used to do the same thing, though, Vince, where I'd see the date, and I remember, dude, I literally begged my mom. I got out of school one day just to rent Scream. I must have fucking... we used to have one of those rewinders, you know, they're separate from the from the stupid little fucking slow ass one that comes with your VCR. But this one was this thing would fucking cruise, dude. I must have watched that movie 15 times, and it wasn't even a weird place in my life, but it was a fucking amazing point in my life because that's when I really started, you know, my horror fucking journey. Because I had seen, you know, Halloween before on AMC. I've seen, you know, enough to really make me interested. I've seen Psycho at this point, so my interest is completely peaked. And then to see that. That was my introduction, dude. So that's nothing anybody could ever take away from me. And like I said, on top of all the nostalgia shit, it's a great fucking movie. I mean,
well, exactly. And you know what they are overall? They're just moldy memories. Those are just what you, and it kind of, you know, shapes you. And I've always said I grew up with having Jaws and Halloween on the same tape that we taped off of HBO.
Right.
And I started watching it at the age of six. So that's why I always loved Chief Brody and Donald Pleasance. To me, were almost kind of the same, but yet different. They, you know, one was pulled into the grasp while the other one was, you know, just hunting it and wanted to be in that path. But hey, that's all we have for this week. We'll definitely be back here again. And I think next week I wanted to get into how, you know, 2016 is going to be the year of the slasher and why that's going to be and why slashers are finally, after all these years, are going to make the comeback. The official comeback, where the paranormal and the found footage is finally dying off. And we'll get into that next time we're here. For Cole, Dan, I'm Vince. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch up with you soon enough. Take care.